In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. We have come to the night of the final bridegroom service. And tonight, we will hear one of the most melodious hymns reverberate from here and out into the world. This night, every Eastern Catholic Church is singing this hymn, bringing to a climatic conclusion this night's bridegroom service. It's a hymn that goes back to the 9th century, written by a nun, Cassiani, the hymn of Cassiani. The hymn, when we listen to it, will move the heart from this world, lifting us out of this world into eternal time. Listen to the prayer, listen to the hymn, and it will pierce your soul. And the soul will then long even with greater intensity for our eternal home. The hymn will open with the words, quote, "O Lord, the woman who had fallen into many sins," end of quote. Twice in his public ministry, twice, a woman came to our Lord and anointed his feet or his head. Once was in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7, when an unnamed woman came to our Lord in Galilee, and she bathed his feet and anointed them, and then dried them with their hair. It's in the home of Simon the Pharisee. And then 1 year later, we hear recorded in John's Gospel, when Mary, the sister of Lazarus in Bethany, washed and anointed the feet of our Lord in the home of Simon the leper. In both instances, the women served as preemptive myrrh bearers. Oh, how we'll hear so much about the myrrh bearers in the Paschal season. But they're already the prefigurement. And in fact, in a way, they're already doing all the anointing that the myrrh bearers will not be able to do on the night of Holy Friday. Mary was a dear friend of the Lord. She was the one who would sit at his feet and listen. She was the one who took to heart those words our Lord said, "Only one thing is needful." And the other woman, she too was a sinner. She's nameless. She's a stranger. Nonetheless, both of these women offered to the Lord a most precious and costly gift of nard. And they foreshadowed his own resurrection. You may recall that after the Lord was taken down from the cross, Our Lady, Mary Magdalene, and these other women, accompanied by two priests, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, took our Lord and they brought him to a tomb. However, because the sun was already setting, they could not give the body of our Lord a proper preparation for burial. It was the Passover. And so early that next morning, as we will soon hear on Saturday night, early in the morning, before the dawn, before the sun even came up over the horizon, these women returned to do their duty, to do justice to the body of our Lord. They came to complete the anointing ritual. There was no need, however. First of all, of course, death would not touch our Lord. But second of all, in a way, the Lord's body was already anointed. Because Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and the woman at Simon the leper's Pharisee's home, anointed, one of them anointed his feet, and the other had already anointed his head. Thus we'll hear in the hymn tonight these words, the hymn of Cassiani, quote, "Perceiving your divinity, She fulfills the duty of a myrrh bearer and brings myrrh to you before your burial. End of quote. This dramatic hymn, this powerful hymn, this rich piece of poetry teaches you and me to approach the Lord even when we are filled with sin. The one thing necessary is what we pray every day, several times a day, if you happen to be doing the hours of prayer. We find it in Psalm 50. We'll hear it right after the homily. Quote, "Sacrifice to God is a contrite heart, a crushed and humbled heart. God will not spurn." End of quote. That is perfect worship to God. Indeed, no matter what sin or sins that may cause you to be unworthy to stand before Almighty God, heed the words of tonight's hymn, quote, "Accept, we pray, we say to God, accept the flow of my tears," end of quote. Tonight, the prayer encourages us to humble ourselves low before God, who will then see your tears and mine. And then God would lower himself even greater. Quote, "You who bow the heavens by your ineffable self-emptying." End of quote. There is no act of humility that will be outdone by God's humility toward us. Know the acts of contrition. First, neither woman took it upon herself to join the table of the Lord. They came as servants. Second, through the shedding of their tears and the kissing of his feet, it was a silent confession, and followed by the drawing of his feet with their precious adornment, hair. Yes, Scripture says the adornment of a woman is her hair. And so they took their adornment and they dried his feet. Finally, in both accounts, jars of costly myrrh were broken and poured out lavishly on the Lord's body. One poured it over his head and the other over his feet. That costly perfume was a symbol of their largesse, love, and gratitude, for which Judas could only say, "Why the waste?" Neither woman stood before the Lord to offer a word of defense or apology or argument or justification. They were silent and left all judgment to Christ. Might we remember that when we make our confessions and stand before God? Make no defense. Make no argument to the Lord. Make no excuses. Let him be the judge. Tears, humility, and generosity, they win the heart of the Lord. And in return, he gives his forgiveness, a mercy that brings healing to a wounded heart. The teaching then of this hymn tonight, on the cusp of the holiest 3 days, is clear. It is not too late to come home. The doors are always open. There's a place for you and me always in the church. God, who is rich in mercy, shall we say prodigal with his mercy, asks but one thing from you and me in these coming days: a contrite heart. Christ is among us.